but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Two on the way, swinging a well-hit ball deep to left field. And Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is Grand Salami time. Cal Raleigh with his third Grand Slam of the season, number 38 on the year.
What a season it's been for Cal Raleigh, Big Dumper, and the Seattle Mariners. What a big series they have at T-Mobile Park. What are second half expectations for them? And Adam Silver's recent comments in Vegas on NBA expansion. What does that mean for Seattle? Well, Tim Booth is all over it. You know him in this market. You know him well in this region. He is at the Seattle Times, and he joins us from T-Mobile Park for Mariners Astros. Tim, thanks for making time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, doing really well. Doing really well. What a series to launch the second half, right? The Astros in town. I mean, that's big-time stuff out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, you go into this series knowing that, you know, you could leave on Sunday two games back and really making the division a race over the final 2 months of the season, or you could be eight games back by the time we leave here Sunday night, and you're really at that point probably thinking more about the wild card. So it really is, you know, there's those statement series that pop up every so often during the season, and this is absolutely one of them for the M's to, if they really want to kind of get back into the division race and at least, you know, make Houston have to sweat a little bit as we head toward the trade deadline into August about, you know, the team that might be right on their tails.
Now, any series with Houston's going to have, you know, some animosity, but describe for us still how the feelings are going between the fan base in Seattle and fan base in Houston. I'm sure it's not exactly warm.
No, it's not the most warm and fuzzy reactions that you get when anytime the Astros are in town, but you know, it's kind of residual, you know, from everything that's happened in the previous, you know, 5 to 7 years and going all the way back to the whole, you know, garbage can stuff and then the playoffs in 22 and everything. So there's a lot of just natural animosity that's kind of become built in between these two teams. And frankly, you know, if you look at in total over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, granted, Texas won a title a couple of years ago, but these have been, by and large, the two best teams in the AL West. And so just naturally, there's going to be a little bit of that's built in with, you know, especially when you're playing meaningful games, whether it's late in the season or that one time in the playoffs when they met.
You know, big picture too, by the way, Tim, and Tim Booth, Seattle Times with us. You're a sports reporter, you know, with the Seattle Times. I know Ryan Divish, the normal Mariners guy, has been taking a little bit of time off at this season. So you have kind of filled his role, and a lot of other of your colleagues at the Seattle Times have kind of tag-teamed this. But what's it been like to be around the baseball club on a day-in, day-out basis and writing these stories and covering this season so far?
It's been fun. It's been a little bit different. You know, my past experiences, I haven't traveled as much as I have this year, but, definitely been just trying to live up to a standard that Ryan has created. You know, I'd argue he might be the best baseball beat writer in baseball because of the work that he's done and the relationships he's made and the sources he has. So, any of us that have kind of pitched in to help out while he's been out this season, it's entirely just trying to live up to a little bit of the standard that he's created over the years of covering this team and covering this team exceptionally well.
And Jerry DePoto was given some comments earlier today as well. That's kind of a big question I know with Mariner fans. What are the expectations toward the trade deadline? Like, is this team going to try to be aggressive? What Jerry say, and from your vantage point, what are you expecting over the next few weeks of the Mariners and the trade deadline in the second half?
Well, I mean, there are some areas where you can upgrade this team. I know Jerry was very cautious with his remarks and kind of how they view things right now. I think they're pretty optimistic and pleased with where they are right now. But especially when you finish the first half with a sweep the way they did against a really good Detroit team, and you've shown some upgrades or upticks offensively over the last 6 weeks or so. But I think you would really like to try to be able to upgrade one of the corner infield positions. Just not necessarily like a general upgrade, but just a little bit more of something there, whether it's, you go out and you figure out a way to bring back Gino Suarez and you all of a sudden get a little bit more offensive punch from third base, or you figure out a way to get a first baseman, whether it's, Josh Naylor or Ryan O'Hearn or someone along those lines, and you're able to maybe just solidify first base so it's less of a platoon and more of just one guy that you're leaning on there who's got a little bit more of an offensive upside. I think those are clearly the two kind of primary areas that everyone's going to talk about and focus on with this team over the next, 13 days until we get to the deadline. The other thing is I think they really would like to have one more arm in the bullpen. They've asked a lot of Andrés Muñoz, they've asked a lot of Gabe Spier, they've asked a lot of Carlos Vargas. This year, Matt Brash is, still coming back fully, trying to get back fully from Tommy John surgery. So I think one more arm in the bullpen who's got some experience, who can pitch in those leverage situations late in the game, I think that would be really helpful for them. But, obviously a lot of the focus is going to be on, okay, what can they do maybe at the corner infield spots and maybe right field as well. Because I think there's still a question of whether you're going to get Victor Robles back fully healthy before the end of the regular season.
Talking to Tim Booth, Seattle Times, one position on the diamond that, they don't have to worry about is the catching position. That first half for Cal Raleigh was nothing short of legendary. I mean, how do you kind of, put words to the first half that he had? And not only that, but his jump from regional star, Pacific Northwest star, to now just quite honestly, I mean, he's like a baseball icon nationally right now, not only with his success, but the nickname and winning the home run derby. I mean, what a last week and a half it's been for that guy.
So it kind of hit me on the last road trip when we were in New York and in Detroit that I saw, when he would have his at-bats, I saw Yankees fans and I saw Tigers fans pulling out their phones to take video or photos of Cal at the plate. And that just doesn't happen for Mariners players. Like maybe Julio a couple of years ago when he was either during his rookie of the year season or in 2023 when he had maybe the most insane, month that you can remember where he just kind of went crazy at the plate. But Cal's kind of captured the baseball world's attention in a way that Mariners fans Mariners players just don't always do. It's been very rare. Like you have to go, like Griffey did it. And at times Felix Hernandez did it. And at times Ichiro did it, but it's a very small select group of Mariners who have, been recognized by their nickname or been this much of a focus of all of baseball. And so that's the rarity of it. It's the fact that random baseball fans in New York or random baseball fans in Baltimore or random baseball fans in Texas know who the Big Dumper is and know what that means and know what he is doing this season. So that's the way that he's captured things. And he's such an unassuming, like quiet guy naturally. Like he genuinely, I think, hates all this attention that's on him, but he's also, I think, appreciative of it and kind of accepting of the fact that he is doing something really special, and he's on the verge of doing something that no catcher has ever done before, and putting together maybe the best offensive and maybe the best all-around season a catcher has ever produced in baseball history. So I think he understands kind of the scope of what all that means, but it's not something that he's genuinely like enjoying all the attention that's coming his way right now. He'd rather just go and figure out the pitching matchups for that day and figure out how to attack the batters and just go out and play.
It's an incredible player to watch. And just to think 2 years ago, it was all the Julio hype. Like, I would have put a decent amount of money on Julio being the superstar over the next two seasons and over anyone else. I just can't imagine if they got Julio back to that superstar track simultaneous with Cal, now you're cooking with gas. So, you know, we'll see how Julio continues to ascend. I know he's getting back into a little bit better form. But let's pivot a little bit with you, Tim. It's been a busy week for you. Down in Vegas, Commissioner Adam Silver was talking about the recent, Board of Governors meeting. They talked about expansion. It made waves here in Portland a little bit. Let's reset at least the Portland element, and we'll branch off of it with his expansion comments and how Seattle's reacted. But this was Adam Silver talking about the future of the Blazers and new ownership here.
Yeah, it's the league's preference that team remain in Portland. We've had great success in Portland over the years. I don't have a specific update on the process, but I know it is underway, and I know there are groups that are actively engaged with the estate and have demonstrated interest in that team. I'd say one of the factors there is the city of Portland likely needs a new arena. So that will be part of the challenge for any new ownership group coming in, but it is certainly be our preference that team remain in Portland.
It's our preference they remain in Portland. Likely needs a new arena. These are not comments that we wanted to hear from the commissioner here in Portland, Tim. But I'm also curious, he had also the comments, of course, from you asking him about expansion and potentially how Seattle fits into that. What do you make of what the commissioner said when you were with him in Vegas this week?
Well, the Portland stuff was, to me, it was kind of shocking. And to me, it immediately gave me flashbacks of the stretch between 2005 and 2007 when everything happened with the Sonics here, because it felt straight out of that playbook. Like, hey, we're going to bring up the fact out of the blue that even though Moda Center has all these plans for renovations to get ready for the 2030 Women's Final Four, that, oh yeah, we're going to mention that they need a new arena there. It really felt like a leverage play. It felt like the commissioner making sure it was out there publicly that, hey, whoever the new owner is of the Blazers needs to take this into account. And the city of Portland needs to take this into account that, hey, we aren't really thrilled with the idea of renovations to a 30-year-old facility. We'd rather have something brand spanking new down there. And it just felt like the very similar playbook to what the Sonics went through back when they were trying to get their arena situation solved in 2005, and then eventually led to the sale of Clay Bennett and the group that moved it to Oklahoma City. So that was the first thing, and frankly, that to me felt like a bigger deal than anything with the expansion conversation. And that's not to mean that a group is going to come in and buy the Blazers and move them. But the way that the expansion stuff has felt like all of these little incremental steps moving at a snail's pace I think it just highlights the fact that maybe they really aren't that interested in expanding right now. And maybe it is going to end up being, maybe not the Blazers, but maybe we're talking about the Pelicans or the Grizzlies or the Hornets or some another franchise who you deem as struggling ends up being what happens to this whole shell game of trying to find different markets where a franchise could end up having more success and the owners don't have to cut up any more of their of the revenue that they're going to be generating out of this new media contract. So the expansion stuff feels like it's just one little incremental step after another. Yeah, they technically started a process this week, but it didn't feel like actual real progress down the road of that conversation. And I think the comments about Portland need to be watched carefully, because I think that 100% the Blazers need to stay in Portland, but the way that was said by the commissioner and the way it was framed by him, I think probably gives a lot of people down there pause about what the future is going to look like.
Now, I know how sports fans work, so, part of me knows this, the answer to this, but is there any, trepidation among fans in Seattle of taking somebody else's team if that's the way that they get their NBA team back?
Yeah, I do. But yes and no. One, let's play the hypothetical out here. If it was the Blazers, I think everybody here would hate it, because I think everybody understands the history involved with the Blazers and knows how much better the league would be with having that rivalry back again. If you had, the Blazers and the Sonics, or, some version of the Sonics back again, that was such a great rivalry back in the day that I think everyone up here knows how special it would be to have that again. But if you're talking about, New Orleans, or you're talking about, franchises along those routes or along that route that haven't had the greatest fan support, might be not the most financially successful, might not be the best revenue generators for the league. If it goes down that road, then I think people are probably a little bit more open-minded to the idea of a relocation versus expansion. Now, expansion is the thing that would make everybody here the happiest. You have a fresh team. You get to bring back the Sonics name. You get to restart the history of the franchise without any of the messiness that went into the whole thing with, when the Sonics left for Oklahoma City, and how they have this dumb shared history and everything that they're going through right now. But I think there's enough of an appetite for the NBA right now that if it becomes clear that expansion isn't the road that the league wants to go, that people are going to be a little bit more open-minded if they said, hey, well, we can't give you an expansion team, but we wouldn't mind having the Hornets, slid out of Charlotte and move back west or out west or something along those lines. So it's not the preference, but I think it's something that fans might be a little bit more open to the idea, especially if it becomes clear that expansion just isn't going to happen.
All right, last thing for you, Tim. We're talking to Tim Booth, Seattle Times. He's at T-Mobile Park, Mariners Astros tonight, at By Tim Booth on X. I can't help but smile with a twinge of irony, talking about Portland, Seattle, rivalries, expansion, relocation, because a lot of this, is what we've been feeling as a potential baseball fan base with Major League Baseball to Portland. And how are we going to get a team here? How are we going to get that Mariners-Portland rivalry? I'm curious from your standpoint, from our standpoint, we're not really totally paying attention to Seattle NBA expansion with any, unless it means the Blazers relocating, of course. But up there in Seattle, is there any attention whatsoever of the whiffs of MLB to Portland, or is that not being taken seriously quite yet?
I think there's at least a little bit of attention on it, just because of the uncertainty of what's going to happen with the A's, and whether, this Vegas project actually gets started beyond them just moving dirt at their construction site, or if there's more of a push to stay in Sacramento, or if Salt Lake becomes, kind of a thing. So I think the uncertainty of the A's kind of is something that people are mildly keeping their eye on. The question eventually is going to be, how do the Mariners as an organization feel about it? Because right now the M's have one of the biggest territorial rights in all of sports. Their footprint is massive. And it includes Oregon, and it includes Portland. And I don't think that's necessarily something that they are just going to blindly give up without something, some sort of compensation or some sort of agreement. If it becomes clear that MLB to Portland becomes a very real possibility. So, that's not to say the M's are going to block it or get in the way of it, but I do think that's going to be part of the conversation if that process ever picks up of let's say it's the A's or let's say it's somebody else MLB does decide to expand. That's going to have to be part of the conversation, because I know how much the Mariners enjoy the fact that they have this massive footprint and they have a presence in Portland and they have a presence in the state of Oregon.
Tim, I got to tip my hat to you. Thanks for your flexibility. You were booked on yesterday's show, and I had to preempt you after the Damian Lillard news broke. Thanks for being malleable and joining us the next day from T-Mobile Park, no less. We appreciate it. We appreciate your insights. I mean, we had a lot of fascinating stuff. So thanks for making room for us in Portland tonight. We appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem. Happy to do it.
All right, there he is, Tim Booth, Seattle Times, at Tim Booth on the socials. Yeah, had to stay on our toes with that one, and thanks for Tim for doing the same thing with the Dame Lillard news yesterday. We'll wrap up the show coming up on the other side. Have more tickets to give away for you, too. Judah Newby here, filling in on the Bald-Faced Truth.